First Thessalonians chapter 4. And our text for today is part of that verse 9. First part of the verse, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. In this letter, first letter to the Thessalonian church, the Apostle Paul has touched upon a number of different subjects. And we find that here his next subject that he deals with is the subject of brotherly love. It is a subject that he returns to often in both his letters to the Thessalonian church. In fact, he uses the word love no less than 9 times. And also the word charity, which means love, 2 times. So in all, the Apostle Paul uses the word love 11 times. He's evidently emphasizing love amongst God's people and the love of God in his people in these 2 letters. And here he deals with and emphasizes the Christian virtue of brotherly love. We all are aware of and know the city in Pennsylvania that is known as the city of brotherly love. It is, of course, Philadelphia. Philadelphia is known as the city of brotherly love because Philadelphia is the Greek word for brotherly love. And so when we look at brotherly love here in verse 9, we find the word Philadelphia in the original Greek. And so we can see that Paul wanted the church in Thessalonica to be known as the church of brotherly love. And according to Paul's own words, the believers believed in and practiced brotherly love. There was no sign of that malady that afflicted the church in Corinth, where there was very little sign of brotherly love. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll see the contrast here in the 2 churches. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we read there in verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions. Word divisions there is the word schisms. That there be no schisms among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And so it was something that was well known about the church at Corinth, that it was not a church of brotherly love. There were schisms. There were contentions. That word division, Paul uses, there are divisions among you in verse 10. The word division there means to rend. It's like rending a garment. You maybe take an old garment and you rend it, you tear it asunder. That's what was happening in the Corinthian church. They were being torn asunder by their divisions and by their schisms. There was no sign of brotherly love. Paul said that according to the house of Chloe, there were contentions among you. If you take that word contention, it is a very descriptive word. For the word contentions means strife and wrangling. So the believers, and remember they were believers, Paul addressed them there as brethren. And here you have a church that was rent, was being torn apart. Here you have a church with schisms, divisions, contentions, strife, wrangling. They were wrangling over certain issues. They were arguing with each other. There was absolutely no sign of brotherly love in the church at Corinth. May the Lord, in His grace and in His mercy, ever deliver us from such a situation. May we continue to know here in our church, in this little assembly, may we continue to know what it is to have brotherly love. I rejoice in the brotherly love that we now enjoy. May that always continue. That's what Paul knew about the church at Corinth. And he also knew about the situation in Thessalonica, that indeed it was a church of brotherly love. That's what he says in verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. In other words, Paul said, I don't need to write unto you to correct you, to rebuke you, because of divisions amongst you. No, he says, there's brotherly love, and upon that subject, I really don't need to write unto you. Except to say that they would increase more and more. So what about this church of brotherly love? That's what we want to consider this morning. And as we look at this church of brotherly love, we will notice that what Paul was speaking about and what Paul was addressing was, first of all, spiritual love. There is, of course, a love found in the hearts of man that cannot be described as spiritual love. John has made that clear, saying, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And we cannot describe a love of the world as spiritual love. Instead, it's a fleshly, it's a carnal love. And John exhorts God's people and says, love not the world. Because if you love the world, then you don't have the love of the Father in you. Because when you have the love of God in your heart, you will not be in love with the world. John goes on to say in 1 John 2, verse 16, for all that is in the world, this is what's in the world. This is what people, the ungodly, fall in love with. John tells us what's in the world that people fall in love with. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So what do we have in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what's in the world. And the person who falls in love with the world and falls in love with such things, they cannot describe that love as being a spiritual love. It's a carnal love. It's a love for the world. But love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, that's a spiritual love. The word brotherly is found 5 times in all of Scripture. Just 5 times. Brotherly. 5, the number of grace. We can safely say that brotherly love is the product of grace. It is the product of grace, saving grace in the lives of sinners. And where you have grace in the life of an individual, the saving grace of God, you will also find brotherly love. In these 5 references, the first reference, the first mention of the word brotherly has to do with love's covenant. Love's covenant. Because the first reference in Scripture to the word brotherly is found in the prophet Amos. You turn to Amos chapter 1, Hosea, Joel, Amos. After Daniel, you have Hosea, then Joel, then Amos. And this is a very interesting reference to the word brotherly. Amos 1 and verse 9. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Tyrus, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom, and remembered not the brotherly covenant. First mention of the word brotherly, Amos 1 verse 9. So you have the people of Tyre. And the Lord says, I'm not going to turn away my punishment from Tyre because they delivered the whole captivity to Edom. Captivity reference is Israel or the Jews. And so Tyre handed over the Jews or Israel to Edom. The arch enemies of Israel. And the Lord says, or the prophet says, and remembered not the brotherly covenant. So what is Amos referring to when he speaks about the brotherly covenant? Well, in 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1, we find that Tyre and Israel entered into what Amos calls a brotherly covenant. Because in 1 Kings 5 and in the opening verse, and Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, king of Israel. For he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father, for Hiram was a lover of David. And so you can see there was an alliance. There was a union between Tyre and Israel. And the king of Tyre said that he had a love for King David, Solomon's father. But Tyre then, in the meantime, committed the same sin as the Philistine cities by selling Jewish captives to the Edomites. Hence, the brotherly covenant was broken. They had once behaved as brothers, Tyre and Israel. King of Tyre had a love for the king of Israel. So there you have, as it were, brotherly love between the king of Tyre and the king of Israel. But then when Tyre took the Jews and sold them as slaves to Edom, the enemy of Israel, then that brotherly covenant was broken. If you look there at Amos 1 and verse 6, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them to Edom. And I will send fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof, and I will cut off the inhabitants of Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon, and I will turn mine hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistine shall perish, saith the Lord. And verse 9, for three transgressions of Tyrus, or the people of Tyre, they did the same thing as the Philistines did. They took the Jewish captives and sold them as slaves into the hands of the Edomites. The Edomites, the enemies of Israel. And there, by that action, we find that the brotherly covenant was broken. by selling Israelite slaves to the Edomites, Tyre broke the brotherly covenant. That covenant, if you like, was rent. That covenant was torn apart, and love was no longer shown to Israel. Remember, the king of Tyre said he loved the king of Israel, namely David. Surely, when the grace of God comes into your life and into mine and lifts us from the mire of sin, a covenant is made with our brothers and our sisters in Christ to love one another even as Christ loved us. We know the love that Christ has for us. We know the love of the Father is in us. We have just read that. And since the love of the Father is in us, we are to have a love for one another. That's the covenant we have entered into. When the God of grace saved us and brought us into Christ, and the love of God filled our hearts, it was like entering into a covenant with God to love our fellow believers. The church at Corinth, because of their contentions and schisms and divisions, had broken that covenant with their fellow believers. They had broken that covenant because they no longer showed a love, a brotherly love for each other. That's something then that we ought always to keep in mind, that we are part of a covenant of grace, certainly, because grace has saved us, but a covenant of love. We have covenanted by our union with Christ to love one another. That's what Paul describes as brotherly love. Remember the covenant, as Amos described it, as the brotherly covenant. John 15, verse 12, the Lord said, love one another, even as Christ loved us. There's the covenant. It's based on Christ and his love for us. We are to love then, love one another. And when we fail to love one another, and there is strife, and there are schisms, and there are divisions and contentions among believers, the covenant of the beloved covenant, or the brotherly covenant, has been broken. And it must be mended. That brings us then to the second reference to the word brotherly. First one, we have love's covenant. The second reference speaks to us of love's communion. Paul again says, but as touching brotherly love, we need not that I write unto you. And the second reference of the five deals with love's communion. Second reference is found in Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 10. And in Romans 12 and verse 10, we might read from verse 9, Paul says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." Verse 10. "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love." There's the second reference to the word brotherly. "With brotherly love in honor, preferring one another." Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. There's love's communion. You look at that verse 10 and we have a picture of communion amongst the saints. Being kindly affectionate one toward another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. And when you look at those words of verse 10 with regard to love's communion, we can see that love's communion there is genuine. There's nothing false about this brotherly love that Paul speaks about here to the Romans. It is genuine. "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love." Indeed, Paul calls upon the believers to be genuine in their love. Look at verse 9 of Romans 12. "Let love be without dissimulation." The word dissimulation means don't be hypocritical. In other words, be genuine, be true. Be real. Don't be hypocritical. That's what the word means. And Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Well, hypocrisy is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Genuine love is good. Let there not be any hypocrisy in your show of love towards one another, is what Paul is saying. We don't want to be like the Pharisees. What did the Lord say about the Pharisees? The religious leaders of the day. This is what he said. "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Matthew 15, verse 8. In other words, as was common with the Pharisees, they were being hypocritical. They pretended to have affection for the Lord. They drew nigh to the Lord with their mouth, and they honored him. With her lips. But it was all an outward show. It wasn't real. Because their heart, the Lord says, was far from him. There was no sign of being genuine in their behavior. Think also of the hypocrisy of Judas Iscariot. Remember when Judas came into the garden? Judas always referred to as one of the 12. Over and over again, when you come across the name Judas Iscariot, it's followed by the words, one of the 12. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, came into the garden. And forthwith, we are told, he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. A kiss. A kiss is the sign or the symbol of love and affection. But Judas had no love for Christ. He was a hypocrite. He was numbered with the 12, but he was a hypocrite. He was a pretender. He pretended all his life to be a true disciple of Christ, when the Lord, of course, knew he would be the one who would betray him. And right to the very end, he played the hypocrite. He kissed the Lord as a sign of love and affection. But that was the kiss not of love, but of betrayal. Nothing genuine there. Another who displayed a lack of genuineness in dealing with others was the man called Joab. Would you turn, please, to 2 Samuel? 2 Samuel in chapter 3. And in 2 Samuel 3, and verse 26, "And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sarah. But David knew it not." Verse 27. "And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly." The word quietly is the word peaceably. So there is Joab. He has sent messengers to fetch Abner. And he meets with Abner in the gate. And he comes near to Abner and he speaks peaceably. Peace with him. And there's the unsuspecting Abner. And there is Joab speaking peace to Abner. That's what was coming out of his lips. But Joab had something in his hand. Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him peaceably and smote him there under the fifth rib that he died for the blood of Asael his brother. In other words, Joab appeared to be genuine and appeared to be at peace with Abner. He had fair speech on his lips, but he had a dagger in his hand. Judas Iscariot appeared to love the Lord Jesus, but he had a band of rebels behind him who would take the Lord Jesus and slay him. So it is today. Some can speak peaceably with their fellow man, but it's not genuine because they have a dagger in their hand. At the first opportunity, they would slay the individual that they're speaking peaceably with. Paul said that this brotherly love was to be seen in God's people, and that brotherly love was to be genuine. Kindly affection one to another with brotherly love. You look at those words of Paul, not only do we see that that love was genuine, but that love was godly. The apostle, of course, is speaking about the behavior and attitude of believers when they come together. There should always be a display of brotherly love when God's people come together. And that brotherly love and communion should not only be genuine, but godly. Paul advised the Roman believers, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Verse 9. He is as much as saying, let not any evil communication come amongst you. Paul, I believe, was aware of the danger when people come together. They would tend to say things in company that they would not say at other times. Start to laugh about things, and before they know it, they can start telling stories that are unsavory just to get a laugh. Paul emphasized that whenever they would come together, they were to be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love. It was to be godly love, godly communion, godly fellowship. As we read in Ephesians 5 and verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named amongst you as becometh saints. As becometh saints. So may our conversation always be as becometh saints. May our conduct always be as becometh saints. When we come together, let us show then that brotherly love. Be kindly affection one toward the other with brotherly love. Paul said in Philippians 1 verse 27, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. The word conversation. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. The word conversation there is a word that means the act of a citizen. Citizen of where? Citizen of heaven. Because later on in his epistle, in Philippians 3 and verse 20, Paul says, for our conversation is in heaven, or the word conversation there is our citizenship is in heaven. And so Paul said, only let your conversation be as becometh those who were citizens of heaven. And what kind of conversation would be carried on in heaven? That's what our conversation is to be like here upon earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. And something, of course, we should always remember. We are citizens of heaven. We are ambassadors for the Lord. And when we come together, let us come together with genuine love, with godliness in our love, and also with grace. Because look there at Romans 12. We read again in Romans 12 what Paul said. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. He's saying here we're not to be self-centered. We're to prefer one, we're to honor one another and prefer one another. That is, prefer one another above ourselves. This world in which we live in is all about I. It's all about me. It's all about myself. That's not the Christian way. That's not the way of brotherly love. We are instead to honor and prefer others. Esteem others more than ourselves. Bible doesn't talk about self-esteem. So we have in the world, it's all self-esteem. Number one is me. I need to be lifted up. I need to have whatever I want. But here we see in Romans 12 and verse 10, there's no mention of self-esteem. Rather, we are to esteem others more than ourselves. That's the Bible way. That's the scriptural way. That's grace. It takes grace to do that. And in brotherly love, there's to be grace. Where there is grace, there will always be brotherly love. Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. There it is. Let nothing be done through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. It takes grace to do that. The natural man wants to exalt himself. The natural man wants to lift himself up and be a Saul, head and shoulders above all other men. But the Lord's way is very different. The Lord's way is very different. The Lord's way is esteem others, to be better than ourselves. the church at Corinth, again, just as a contrast, the church in Corinth was divided into groups, and each group thought they were better than the other group. That's what it was all about. Each group thought they were better than the other. But Paul says, God says in his word, we are to esteem other better than ourselves. That was something that a man by the name of Diotrephes really wasn't interested in. For we read in 3 John and verse 9. And with this, we'll have to close our study for today. 3 John verse 9. 3 John verse 9. I wrote unto the church, John says, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them. He loves to have the preeminence. Received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And John saying, that's this man Diotrephes. He loveth to have the preeminence. He wants to be seen as the kingpin in the church. He wants to be the whole cheese, as it were. And would not receive John, because that would take away from him. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Not much brotherly love there. No brotherly love at all. No sign of being kindly affection one toward another. And this individual, as I say, he thought he was the kingpin of the church, and instead he was just a carnal wretch. Really had no place in the church. He was carnal, self-centered, proud, arrogant. May we know what, and always know what Paul was speaking about in Romans 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affection one to another brotherly love, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. We've just considered two of the references to the word brotherly. We'll consider the rest, Lord willing, next week. As we look at this church of brotherly love, let's bow our heads. Father and our God, we thank thee for the instruction that thou hast given to us from thy word. An instruction that will make us better Christians, that will make us more like our Savior. Even when we think of the Savior, and how he said, take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Lord, that's the Christ-likeness that we seek to strive after, to be meek and lowly of heart, to esteem others better than ourselves, not to be a Diotrephes, but to be like the Lord Jesus. Lord, bless our church here. I praise thee and thank thee, Lord, for our congregation. And, O Lord, may we ever together, unitedly, press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of our God, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, be with us throughout this day. Grant us now traveling mercy. Keep us safe, Lord. Return us in thy will to thy house tonight to learn more about thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be your abiding portion now and forevermore.